Hey everyone, welcome to the Student Ministries podcast. I am Kate Kim, the discipleship coordinator for Watershed, the high school ministry at Perimeter. And this is a podcast based where we talk about student culture and how that interacts with the gospel. How do we keep students rooted and grounded in the gospel in the midst of a very changing culture with a lot of challenges? And today we're just going to go back to the basics and talk about the importance of student discipleship. So I have with me Emilio Hood, Davon Stack, and Travis Nolan. I'm going to have them introduce themselves, and then we'll just get started and have a conversation about student discipleship. So I'll start with you, Emilio. Tell me what your role is and how long you've been working in student ministry.
Yeah, so my name is Emilio. I'm the Watershed Director. Watershed's our high school ministry, and I have been doing student ministry for about 19 years, 15 full-time.
Awesome. Thanks. And Davon?
Hey, Davon Stack. I'm the junior high director here. Middle school. We'll go middle school since it's 2022. I've been doing ministry for about 22 years.
And my name is Travis Nolan. I am the discipleship coordinator for our middle school ministry, which is J High. And I have been doing student ministry for 22 years as well. Only 8 of those vocationally.
Awesome. And I didn't say this, but I've been doing student ministry probably about 10 years combined total. So that's like over 50 years combined in this room.
That quick math.
Yeah. Well, you know, roughly. So I want us to talk about discipleship. That is a key component to what we do here at Perimeter Church. So we're going to talk about what does student discipleship look like. There are similarities to adult discipleship. There are differences. So first, I just want to ask y'all, what role do you see students play in the life of the church?
I think it would be a shame if we didn't see students playing a crucial role in the church and just making sure that they know that they are a part of the church. I think for so long, we've seen churches in the past treat high school students and middle school students as if they were other, or as if they were too young to be a part of this. But, they are, this generation in particular is so smart and bright and willing, and they want to be a part of something. Mm-hmm. So it's on us to invite them in to be a part of that. Anything less than, I think we're just falling short.
I think it also gives the older generation, those older than the students, I know it's almost, it's like a challenge. It's a way for them to be challenged on a regular basis to live out their faith well.
Yeah.
You see that, those who have been called to ministry, I guess vocationally, if you want to say it that way, they talk about equipping the saints. But at the same time, I think that that's all of our responsibility to some extent, to equip the saints. And so for like our discipleship leaders and leaders in general to reach down to the next generation to help equip them to get them ready for ministry, whether it be vocationally or just their daily lives, which is what God's called us to do.
Yeah, totally.
I think the healthy church, that it doesn't even occur that there's a difference, right? Like, it almost surprises me when I find out that there is a differential, because there really isn't a differential. There's not even a differential for a kindergartner. I mean, it's all moving the gospel and the Great Commission forward. I think that's a frustrating aspect of it when you find that out, because I don't think anybody involved with it, even from a layperson standpoint, with our leaders that we depend on so much, they don't look at it as different. They get to go live out their calling that God's put on their life, just as specifically maybe for this age group. But at the end of the day, I think it's just people. And a healthy church knows that and supports that.
And for the sake of people listening, I want to define what we're talking about in terms of students, as we're talking 6th through 12th graders specifically in this time. So people who are in middle school through high school. And we'll talk about this later in other episodes, but, you know, we would, sociologists would define that as Gen Z, you know, the Generation Z, and they've lived through some just really unique circumstances and context. And I think similar to what Devon said, of I think each generation can learn from the other. Like, we need each other to balance one another out. And so a lot of times the younger generations can kind of see, okay, what did the generations before kind of, where did they err in the church, right? Mm-hmm. And what do we need to do in order to, you know, care for the non-believer, care for issues around justice, things that might not have been a priority in previous generations. But then at the same time, our students, and this is where discipleship comes from, comes in, is we need our students to be poured into by people who have been walking with God for a long time. Mm-hmm. So how do we learn from one another in order to really be a holistic church that is really kind of living out the gospel in our current culture? So we define student, and we keep talking about discipleship. Some people might hear that as a Christian buzzword. I want to hear from y'all. What do you think it means to be a disciple, and what does it mean to be a discipler?
We're going to let the discipleship coordinator throw that out there first.
I think, truthfully, our terms can get in our own way a lot of times. I think that discipleship occurs anytime one human gives their life away, invests, and that can be for 15 minutes or it can be for 15 years for the sake of Jesus. Mm. I think the more that we add on to that, the more complicated it becomes. And we as humans are very good at complicating things. I mean, I know I am. Y'all know I am. So when you're giving your life away to another for the sake of the gospel and Jesus, that's discipleship. And I'm pretty sure God would call that discipleship as well.
Mm-hmm. Someone asked me some years ago, actually when I first got started here, and I learned more about what discipleship was, if you want to say it that way, at least how it was defined. And it was a counseling class I was in, and someone asked what's the difference between counseling and discipleship. And I was like, I think counseling is pointing someone in the right direction, and discipleship is walking alongside someone in the right direction. And for our context, for the sake of Jesus, of us becoming more like him and helping those who are walking alongside to do the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'll just piggyback off that and simplify it. For me, a disciple is someone who follows. A discipler is someone who leads. Mm-hmm. And for us, you know, we're prayerfully leading them, the follower, mm-hmm. to Jesus. Mm-hmm. So I very simplistically speaking, you know, discipleship is just pointing people towards Christ. Mm-hmm. And being led towards him.
I mean, I think the Bible gives us, Jesus himself gives us a great model for discipleship. And it was his command to us as followers, as believers in Jesus, to go and make disciples. That is what he called us to do when he left this earth. And what we see, just like Emilio said, in his own disciples, as he, as those disciples followed him, he taught them. He mm-hmm. came alongside them. He walked with them. He when he saw them make a mistake, he corrected them in a very loving and gentle way. But we were talking about this recently as a staff, like, how do you hold others accountable and do that in a way that's helpful or received well? And I think, I think about my own discipleship group. After 4 years with them, you know, I hope and I think that they know that I am for them, that I want good for them, that I want to see them grow and mature. So when I come alongside them and challenge them or hold them accountable to something where I see maybe they're not following Jesus in a certain way, they can receive that because they know that I love them and that ultimately my desire for them is to be shaped more into the likeness of Christ. Mm-hmm. And not because I am there, you know, like I still need to be discipled, but just like all of you said, it's really coming alongside them in that journey. But I just have the advantage of having a few years on them in that journey. So I'm really having them come alongside me in that process. This is something we talk about a lot. And I think we see I wouldn't say tension, but, there's a difference between student discipleship and adult discipleship. How is it different? And how is it the same? So what are maybe some of the challenges in discipling students versus discipling adults? And in what ways should it be very similar and look the same?
The first thought that comes to my mind is then there's a different level of humility mm-hmm. that has to go into it. Mm-hmm. Because I know for me, for this year, it's been one of the tougher years in discipleship for me. Mm-hmm. And if this were adults, I feel like I might be a little bit more patient with the guys, and also a different expectation I have for them because I'm like, hey, you guys are grown. But with the students, it's a little bit different because we can come into it, or I came into it, I'll say it that way. I had a great year last year, and I came into it expecting it to build on top of that. But because of some other circumstances, group size and things like that, it didn't turn out that way. And I think the humility part of it is I was looking at it like, hey, this is going to be an awesome year. I'm expecting them to do really well. I'm expecting all the things that I know to be passed on to them in a great and amazing way, I guess. And realizing that they're still 14. Mm-hmm. And thinking about when I was 14, I wasn't great in my faith either. Whether or not if I could say, hey, I was more mature in my faith than they are, maybe, maybe not. But I think there's just a level of humility where I have to say, I don't have all the answers and I need to meet them where they are. Mm-hmm. And if that means I need to come back 20 years to make sure I meet them where they are, I need to do that. And that was difficult, honestly. And so it's just realizing that, hey, maybe not all of them are ready for discipleship, at least not the way we deem discipleship. I need to come alongside them and walk alongside them and just continue to point them towards Jesus, even though they may not be where I would love for them to be, at that point.
As a D group leader in a student world, you are going to have to, you're going to have this group of students and they can literally be all across the map, mm-hmm. anywhere from completely apathetic to unsaved, unsure, saved, unsure, all the way to a faith of their own. And you have to figure out how to balance that. Mm-hmm. And that's a heavier lift, but at the same time, even as I say that, my gosh, how rewarding of a thing that it can be, because hey, you're going to have some people with a faith of their own, and that's, you're going to hang out in this kind of pond and it's going to look like that with them. Then these other people, man, they're still seeking, still trying to figure it out. Like, you literally get to come along people at all different stages mm-hmm. of where they are in their faith and their story. simultaneously. And so it makes that group time, while absolutely important, that's primarily for connection, holding each other accountable, bringing things out with each other, having their peers support them in that, so on and so forth. But it makes those one-on-ones and the one-on-twos and the what we would call the with of discipleship hyper important, because then you get to tailor it to them and meet them exactly where they are in that moment without worrying about alienating anybody else.
I'll say, you just talked about, like, you know, meeting them where they are, which I think for adult discipleship and student discipleship, that's one of the similarities. I think a good adult discipleship, you know, they're meeting them where they are physically, emotionally, spiritually, and the same with student ministry. I mean, we talk about it all the time, like, you know, discipleship isn't the 1 hour after, you know, our program. It's mm-hmm. it's doing life with them. It's, mm-hmm. it's, you know, showing up at their football games. It's showing up when they've found out that their parents are getting divorced. You know, that's discipleship. That's doing life. Mm-hmm. But it's getting so hard to meet where they are because of how busy mm-hmm. people are these days. Like in student ministry, you know, for us with high schoolers and with middle schoolers, like I have a sixth grader now, and like she is as busy as I am with her schedule. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have fallen into this trap of, you know, making sure our kids are busy because that's apparently what they're supposed to be. It's not true. That's a lie. But I'm believing it for whatever reason. But students are so busy. You know, we'll have students. Like I have guys who'll text me and like, hey, I can't come today because of X, Y, Z. Mm-hmm. And it's never, man, I don't love you. Oh man, I don't love Jesus. I don't love discipleship. It's, right. Man, I've got an AAU tournament. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm in Chattanooga. Or, hey, I'm exhausted because I didn't get home until 2 o'clock last night because of prom. Or, hey, we just found out we got kicked out of our house, mm-hmm. and so we're having to move today. Mm-hmm. Like, just, there's just busyness. Hell, I'm working. Oh, I have SAT prep. Mm-hmm. Oh, I have, and it just goes on and on and on. And it's the same with adults. Adults is the same. It just looks different. Mm-hmm. I'll say one of the differences, though, is for the most part, adults want to be in discipleship. Mm-hmm. Like, if they're in a discipleship group, they want to be in there.
Right.
You know, whether they're wanting to grow in their faith, wanting to build a community around them, or they're seeking. For students, we do have that. We have students who genuinely love discipleship. Yeah. Like, I remember, like, last year or 2 years ago, walking towards the church, and I watched a mom drag her kid out of the car. You know, for a lot of the kids in our ministry, and probably, you know, I hope we're not unique in this, like, they're in discipleship because their parents made them come to discipleship.
Yep.
They're here because they have no choice.
Right.
And so, I mean, that's another challenge that we have, is, like, how do we, you know, come alongside that kid mm-hmm. who does not want to be here and has no problem letting you know they don't want to be there.
Right. Yeah.
And I want to be like, hey, I don't want you here either, but apparently Jesus does.
Yeah. Hmm.
So welcome to discipleship.
Yeah. 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 And I think kind of to your point of the busyness, I think too, like high school, junior high students are at a different stage developmentally. So they're learning how to balance all of that. They're learning how to balance school, balance extracurricular friendships, relationships. Their emotions are a little bit all over the place. And so I think it can be harder for them to really commit. Whereas like an adult, hopefully, you know, even though there is a lot of busyness, they're at a place where they can know what they want to prioritize or not. And that's part of it. That's part of the discipleship process, is walking with them through that stage and going, hey, you know what? Like, if you have too much on your plate, then you're probably not meant to do all of that. And what is it that's driving you to do as much as you're doing? Let's talk about that. So inviting, like, bring discipleship into that, even if it might look a little bit messier or like harder to be consistent. I know one thing I did, I have seniors, so I have the advantage of having been with them for 4 years and they're a little bit older, they can drive. But this year I really said to them, hey, like, we've been together for 3 years, and I think in our final year, I really want you to commit. And if you can't, that's okay. Like, if this is not an, if you're not in a season of your life where you can commit to coming every single Sunday night, supporting one another, that's okay. There's no judgment. But in order for us to really grow, you have to commit to this thing called discipleship. And I've just seen a lot of fruit in that. I've seen them taking it really seriously and just growing in their relationships, both with the word, with one another, and with me. And so I think that's part of it, is calling them to kind of a higher level of commitment.
How do you frame that conversation to them, right? Like, yeah. Like even the, I mean, like get down to the nitty gritty, because I think that yeah. there's a lot of value in even how you deliver that, yeah. especially with your background.
Well, again, I would not have done this freshman year. You know, I did this after 3 years, and last year was COVID, and I just saw burnout. I saw my girls not excited to come, struggling. They wanted to be there because they were longing for connection. But because it was so inconsistent, our groups just, it was just hard to really connect the way I wanted to. So I wanted that for them. Like I longed for that for them. And I also wanted to give some of the girls who they might be finding discipleship somewhere else. And I wanted to give them permission to say no, and not to feel obligated or to feel guilty. I didn't want that to be what discipleship was about. I wanted it to be a choice. And so, and I felt like they were at an age where they could make that choice and really commit. And so I really framed it to say, hey, like out of love and care for one another, like I want you. I said, I'm going to show you grace. Like if there's a week where things are just crazy and you can't come, that's fine. But like I want you to like this. This is a growth area, because when they go to college too, like they're going to have to make those choices. And I've really seen the fruit of that, you know, and it was part of it was feedback from some of the girls who have been committed all 4 years of going, you know, like, I don't feel like it can open up when 1 week there's three girls here and the next week there's a whole three different ones, you know. And so really it was to serve and care for all of them. Like, I think when that's your motive is like, again, like I said at the beginning, like I'm for you. I want good for you versus I'm going to be a dictator and you have to come this many times or you're kicked out. Or so it's really all about kind of your posture towards them and your heart for the students. So
I love how you frame that. Like when you say for them, that you can literally tell just even with how you're talking that it's you want this for them, not to make your life easier as a D group leader, make, you know, not so you can feel more effective, but that you really desired something for them. I think that's key.
And I would say, like, you know, again, I couldn't really do it until this stage, but I think kind of going back to the original question of the difference between adult and student discipleship, I think student discipleship, it sometimes, I'm not saying always, because there are definitely challenging things about adult discipleship too, for sure. But I do think it takes more patience, and it takes longer to see results. And so that can be really hard. And I think a lot of times that's why leaders can burn out pretty quickly, because they're kind of, they've spent a whole year showing up every Sunday night and pursuing students in the weeks between and not really getting much in return. So it can feel like, oh, God's not really doing anything or he's not working. But that's not true. You know, sometimes they do fall off, you know, and that can be discouraging and disappointing, but God still uses that. He still uses the time that you spent speaking scripture to them and loving them well and praying for them. But it's not something you walk into hoping to get some like immediate results or to feel really good about yourself walking away from it. This is the first year I've really seen a lot of tangible fruit. I'm not saying I haven't seen it the last 3 years. I certainly have. But I think it's taken 4 years to really get to that place of like, oh, this is sweet. Like, y'all get it. Like, mm-hmm. we're literally just discussing the word together and how that applies to your life at Lambert High School or South Forsyth mm-hmm. or Johns Creek, you know, and like, so that's really sweet to see. So be patient. Like, mm-hmm. don't expect instant results because you'll be disappointed. As we close out, I want to ask one more question. What is, because really we're speaking to leaders and parents of students. So people who are really coming alongside and walking alongside students. And you might be like, what the heck am I supposed to do? I don't understand my teen. I don't understand what is going on in their world. What piece of advice would you give to a new leader? And what piece of advice would you give to a parent of a teen?
Be patient and also know that your presence, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, right? And you can't fake caring. In fact, I think even in this cynical world, we can sometimes take people who actually do genuinely care and go, oh, that's got to be fake. Mm-hmm. They can't actually really, you know. But with that quote, your presence is so important. I love how you were explaining the dynamic of, look, I was present, and then we got to this age to where I could have that conversation about commit with all of them if you were going to be in there, not just the three or four who've been committed. Mm-hmm. So I think your presence is enormous, and God doesn't have to use you, mm-hmm. right? Like, you don't have to go be effective or say these amazing things in order for God to use your presence in their lives. So that's what I would say. Keep showing up, and it's worth it. Mm-hmm. You're having impact that you may never, ever get to see on this side of eternity, but when you get on the other side, you'll see it and you'll go, I had no idea that God used that to have an impact.
Yeah.
I think for parents and for leaders, I would encourage them to meet their teen where they are. Mm. You don't create false expectations or false hopes for what you want them to be or where you want them to be, what you want them to look like. Yeah. Meet them where they are spiritually. You know, if they're a believer, walk and come alongside them, encourage them, point them to Jesus, you know, spend time in the Word and prayer. If they're not a believer, share the gospel with them, but don't belittle them for not believing something that you do. Mm-hmm. You know, don't, because that's just going to push them away. Yes. Like, if you're a leader and there's a kid in your group who does not believe, don't make him feel less than the others, because he's never going to come back if he does. Mm-hmm. Same as a parent, you want to push your kid away, make them feel like they don't belong in your family. Mm-hmm. Meet them where they are. Physically, leaders, meet them where they are. You know, I had a conversation with leaders with a guy 3 years ago, and it was the end of the school year, and he was sad because discipleship was ending. And I asked him the question. I said, what do you mean discipleship is ending? And he was like, well, our groups aren't going to meet anymore. I was like, yeah, I get that, but why? What do you mean discipleship's ending? He's like, well, I'm not going to see them this summer. I was like, why? He's like, what do you mean? I was like, well, what do your guys do? He goes, well, they play tennis. I was like, go to their tennis match. Mm-hmm. He's like, you can do that? I was like, you're not doing that? You know, meet them where they are. You know, for me, and I bet it's true for all of us in here, like, I don't remember the Bible studies that my leader said in high school. I don't remember any of the talks that my youth pastor gave, but I remember, you know, my leader showing up to my soccer games. Mm-hmm. I remember him coming to a soccer practice. Mm-hmm. I remember him showing up when the girl dumped me in mm-hmm. high school. That didn't happen. I'm just making that up. I never got dumped.
Liar.
But yeah, meet them where they are.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Nice. Honestly, I was thinking kind of the same things both of you guys were saying as far as, like, yeah, all of that was great. I would also say just pray. I pray for your students, whether they are living in your house or you disciple them as a volunteer. Pray for them, because that will help you. That will give you a strength and an energy and a hope that you'll need when, not if, but when things get tough, when you get frustrated and things like that, and start to feel hopeless, like, pray. Because God's the one who's going to bring them around. He's the one who's going to, he's the one who has to reveal himself to them for them to want to be his, for them to want to be in discipleship, all of that. So, we have to be consistent in prayer.
All of that is super wise, and I would agree. I would also say and add just 3 or 4 quick things. One, and I also work as a counselor in a private practice, and I work with a lot of teenagers and their families. And something I will say to the parents is, one, like, the biggest thing that teenagers often need, because a large disproportionate amount of teenagers struggle with anxiety right now, and so they really need a non-anxious presence. So as an adult, we really need to go, like, what is causing anxiety for me, and how is that coming across to my teen and causing more anxiety in their life? And the way that we do that is, you know, Jesus is the ultimate non-anxious presence. We go to him, we rest in him, just like Devon said, we pray, and remain grounded in truth. They lack so much truth right now in their worlds and their lives. So stand firm on the truth that you believe in. To remember that we literally cannot understand what all they are going through right now. Their generation has just experienced things that we didn't. And so having patience, having the humility to say, you know, I don't get it, but I want to listen to you. I want to hear what this feels like and what you're going through. But yeah, any last words before we close out?
It's great.
Yeah, that's great.
Thanks y'all so much for coming alongside and starting this podcast. So
absolutely.
All right.
Cue that music.
Yeah, we'll talk to you next time. Y'all have a great day.
The Perimeter Student Ministries Podcast with Kate Kim is an 8-week podcast released every Monday through the end of May. For more info, please visit our site at perimeter.org/students.